In our past shiur, we spoke about the prerequisite for learning Torah of having yira, of having awe for Hashem, and we explained that in two ways. One was that a yira preserves chachma, it preserves Torah. In other words, the Chazal tell us that yira shemayim, a person who has fear and awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that is like a preservative for the Torah. It's like the Chazal give an example of having grain, and if there's no preservative mixed with the grain will rot. And if it has a preservative, then the grain is sustainable. So too, if a person has yira shemayim, so then he's able to preserve all his learning. If he does not have yira shemayim, then he will not be able to preserve his learning. So according to this first understanding, yira is a prerequisite in learning and maintaining Torah. We also mentioned in the last year a Ramban in Sefer Devarim, where the Ramban tells us that yira is required for another reason, and that is we are commanded to remember Yoyim Asher Amadato Lefnei Hashem Lekecha, the day that Klal Yisrael stood in front of Hashem at Har Sinai, and we explained last time from Abenu Bechaye how awesome that day was, how petrified the Bnei Yisrael were there at that time. They didn't want to go under the mountain of Har Sinai. We mentioned there was an earthquake, there was a fire, there was thunder and lightning, and the mountains around, the hills around the Har Sinai were dancing, not figuratively, but literally they were dancing. Horim raktu ke'elim, we say in davening. The mountains were dancing around like rams, and it's not a mashal, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, but this actually happened. So in this awesome scene, there's a voice coming from Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anoichi Hashem Lekecha. So the Jewish people were petrified. And the Ramban tells us that every father has an obligation to give over to his child not only the learning of Torah itself, but you have to give over the whole, you have to reenact to your child the whole atmosphere that surrounded the giving of the Torah. And the reason for that is so that it will influence a person's child and they will realize that I am giving over to my child what my father gave to me, which he received from his father, going back all the way to Har Sinai. We're saying that this is what we have passed down from generation to generation, that the awesomeness of the whole experience of standing at Har Sinai. So that helps us in our amuna in Hashem. And therefore, the Ramban says that if another Navi comes, a Navi Sheker, a false prophet, and he will say something against the Torah, it's not just Moshe's word against this false prophet, but rather on Moshe's side is Hashem, because we're giving over, as the Mefarshim say, I believe the Chinuch says, the Kuzri, there's no other religion in the world that has ever claimed that they had an event in front of 3 million people. Because to make up a story like that, it's preposterous if it's not true. We're the only nation in the world that says that we had Kabbalah Satorah in front of 3 million people, because it happened. No other nation, no other religion ever dared to make such a claim. Because if somebody would come today that go down to Nevada, the Torah is being given there in front of 3 million people. Well, you can prove it either yes or no. You can't make up such a thing. And that's what we're giving over to our children, our grandchildren, the day that the Torah was given to us in front of 3 million people and the whole atmosphere. So the yira As Chazal say, just like you accepted the Torah, be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, u'be'zeya, you accepted the Torah in such an awesome atmosphere, that's how a person, in fact, has to learn Torah. So it comes out that yira is not just, like we said before, a preservative to maintain your wisdom, but yira is part of emuna according to the Ramban. I just want to elaborate a very beautiful pshat from Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik Zatzal. He explained with this concept of giving over not only the Torah, but the day in which the Torah was given. This explains why some people have a custom to stand during the Kriyas HaTorah, and other people have a custom, they sit down. What is the reason for both customs? He explained, we have to understand what the function of learning Torah, of reading in the Sefer Torah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. The Chazal say that a Jew should not be 3 days without Torah. So if you read in the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, it comes out that you haven't gone 3 days without Torah. So was this a enactment for learning Torah? If it's learning Torah, just like we're sitting around the table here, you should learn it sitting down. Why? They used to learn Torah standing up. It says when Rav Gamliel passed away, the people got weak and they couldn't stand the whole day and learn as they used to. Therefore, they had to sit down, or else they wouldn't be able to physically learn. They wouldn't have the strength. And the Rishonim tell us that, in fact, since a person, when he stands all day, he gets tired, and he's not able to learn as well as if he sits down. So therefore, you should learn Torah sitting down. You'll have the strength to learn a whole day. So if the purpose of every 3 days is a function of learning Torah, that's why people sit down. It's you can learn more by sitting down than standing all day. However, if the purpose is another purpose, and that is to give over every 3 days how the Torah was given. How the Torah was given. It was given be'ema, be'yira, be'res, be'zeh. The people were not sitting at Har Sinai. Yom asher amadita lefnei Hashem lekecha b'chorev. You have to give over the day in which we were standing in front of Hashem in such a petrified, awesome situation. No one sat down. Nobody went to sleep. They were standing in fright in front of the awesome scene that surrounded them. So if you're giving it over, then you have to give it over standing. And that's why it says that the Baal Koreh is in the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought down the Torah to Klal Yisrael. The one who gets called up to the Torah, he represents the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people. And it comes out, according to this, the third one, the Gabbai, it represents Hashem. And as these are the three parties, I don't know if a lot of people will look at their Gabbai as being similar to Hashem, but that's really, it comes out what he's representing. So you have the three parties that were at Har Sinai: Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Klal Yisrael, which is represented by the person who gets the Aliyah, and all of them are standing. And then the people in the shul who are listening, according to this custom, should stand. There are many shuls where people stand. All the people stand. And the reason is because they're not just learning Torah, but they're reenacting the way the Torah was given. The way the Torah was given, then you have to stand. Yom asher amadita lefnei Hashem lekecha b'Har Sinai. So it comes out, according to this beautiful pshat, that every 3 days we remind ourselves not just of the learning of Torah, but the awesome scene of Kabbalah HaTorah. The topic of today's shiur is spare the rod and spoil the child. What is the Torah's hashkafa about this? And in other words, this has to do with our theme of Yira, because there's a pasuk that says, Zroik, or maybe a Chazal says, Zroik mora b'talmidim, which means that a Rebbe is supposed to put the fear of Hashem into the Talmidim. The way the Chazal used to teach Torah was in a fearful atmosphere. We did learn last time that we met that Rabbah used to introduce the shiur with a joke, and everybody used to start laughing. to get the people in a good mood. But once he started the shiur, he did it very seriously. Because the real way that Torah is given over is in a very serious atmosphere. Chazal tell us that you have to serve Hashem with Ava and with Yira, with love and with fear. And that's basically how we're going to come out in today's shiur, that you have to have a balance of both. But what is the reason that you have to serve Hashem out of Yira? Why can't you just serve Him out of love? The answer is because we have this expression, familiarity breeds contempt. She'ein yore boet. A person who fears another doesn't kick. And as if you get too close to someone and your whole relationship is ava, love, and there's no fear, it's not balanced with yira, so you can get too friendly with the person and then you don't have respect for the person. And familiarity breeds contempt. You're boyet, you kick the person. But if you serve Hashem, or even Hashem, you're boyet in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. So the way to make sure that that doesn't happen is you have to serve Hashem with respect, with awe, and with trepidation. So definitely, in chinuch, in education of our children, of our students, definitely Yira plays a very important role. The question is, today, especially, we have child abuse. You know, if you give a punch to a child, you can be brought to the judge for child abuse. So we want to focus a little bit on that. What's the Torah's outlook? So we have a pasuk that says in Mishlech, Chosen shiftoi soine benoi, a person who has mercy on the stick, Shevet, the stick, he hates his child. In other words, it would seem that Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that one should use a stick. You have to sometimes get discipline through the stick. However, especially in our generation, which may not be ready to accept a slap or a belt or a ruler as there were old-time teachers. But Rav Shlomo Volboy, I heard this from Zatzal, I heard this from Rabbi Yisrael Rakovsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Or Samech in Muncie, New York. So he said that Rav Shlomo Volboy, who was a great pedagogue, a great machanach, he just passed away a little over a year ago. So he said that there are many kinds of shevet. Shevet doesn't necessarily always mean a stick. And I'll give you one example of this. From a story that I heard from Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab, the Rav of Kalidas Yeshurun and the Broyers in Washington Heights, so he was known all his life to be a tremendous ish emes, very truthful person. And he once explained how he developed this midah, never to say a word that Chas V'Shalom, God forbid, should not be 100% true. And it began in his youth. His mother once gave him some money to go to the store and to buy some groceries. And then, to bring back the change. He did that. And she noticed when he came back with the groceries and the change that it didn't add up. There was a little, too few change. It wasn't sufficient. She asked him, how come... you're supposed to give me back some more money. Why is it only this? And he admitted that he had taken some of the money and he had bought himself something in the store. So what was his mother's reaction? His mother said that father will have to hear about this. So later, it was Erev Shabbos when he was doing the shopping, and it came Friday night, and the father had been told what had happened. The minig was to bench all the children. So his father said to him, "I heard what happened today. That you weren't honest. You took money that no one gave you permission to take. As a result, you are not benched tonight." That was his shevet. That was his stick. His father didn't scream at him. His father didn't hit him with a belt or with a punch. His father said that you cannot be benched tonight. And that experience shook him up to such an extent that for the rest of his life, He was so careful that every action that he did was true. In money matters, every word that he said was honest and true. Why? All because of the way his father had reacted. It wasn't a slap, but it was a powerful message that he received on that Shabbos night. Now, at the recent Torah Masorah convention, Rav Steinman was a guest there, and I had the zchus to be there, and he answered questions. It was a very interesting evening. It was Thursday evening, and people, the rabbi, the mechanchim asked him questions, and he gave answer. One question was, should a rebbe play with his talmidim, and should you give sometimes a slap to a talmid? So he came out, no play and no punch, because you shouldn't play. The rebbe has to have his respect. And that's the part of Zroik Morab Talmidim. You have to throw fear into the students. They have to have respect. You're going to play with them. You're going to become their buddy. They won't have respect. You'll lose discipline in the class. You won't be able to teach them. So you have to have the respect. But on the other hand, he said, to give a patch to a bacher, slap a bacher in public, to that the Talmud, he said, will remember that for the rest of his life. Or if he was ever embarrassed, or even to say something negative against the Talmud, Barabim, in public, it has a devastating effect. Go in private, you want to call him in and tell him what he did wrong, what he has to improve in. That is correct. So what happened was that afterwards, a mechanech came over to me, and he related to me that he had gone into Rav Steinman, and he had said, I don't understand what the Rebbe said, what the Rashiva said. You can't slap a child. Sometimes you have to. You know, you have to. For example, if a child runs out into the street with cars, that's a time where you have to get a slap to know that this is something dangerous. The child get injured, lose their life. That there is times. How did Rav Steinman say? Not a slap. And Rav Steinman agreed that there are extenuating circumstances, special occasions. And again, it probably, even if you give the slap, you should do it in private. But as we were discussing this, somebody else walked by and he said, let me tell you a story. I hear what you're discussing. I'll tell you an interesting story with the Baba Verebi. There was the Baba Yeshiva used to be in Manhattan, and near Central Park. And one afternoon, the Bachram decided, instead of going to English classes, they would play ball in Central Park. That was a little more interesting for them. So the Hanhala, the principals, found out about it, and the punishment was that every boy had to go with a private session to the Baba Verebi to discuss what happened. So one of the boys who went into the Baba Verebi, he told this gentleman who told this story to us, he said what happened inside the office of the Baba Verebi. The boy was called in. The Baba Verebi said to him, is it true that I heard you were playing ball in Central Park? He said, yes. He says, do you realize that what you did was avlat, was something wrong? Yes. Do you realize that if you had gone at least to learn Torah instead of going to English, so that it would still would have been wrong because you were supposed to be in the English class, but to go to play ball, that is even a worse avla. It's even more wrong. Do you understand that? Yes. Then the Baba Verebi said to him, do you realize that for what you did, you deserve a patch? And the boy said, yes. So the Baba Verebi called him over. And then he went over, he didn't give him a patch, he gave him a glut. He stroked his chin, and he said, that's instead of a patch. So that was the experience there. So again, this is another example that the boy, he went through, he got his punishment, and yet the Baba Verebi did it, as we're going to speak at the end of the shir, Yamin Mekarev Usmal Doicha, that the left pushes away, but the right hand brings close. So the Baba Verebi got his message over, and yet he didn't embarrass the boy in public, he didn't even give him a patch, and yet it was a very traumatic experience for this boy, but he learned his lesson. So he told me that story of the Baba Verebi. I told him something I had heard from the Novominsk Rebbe Shlita. also at a previous Torah Masorah convention. He brought a gra in Mishlei. The Vilner Gaon wrote a pirush on Shlomo HaMelech Sefer Mishlei. And there the gra explains, and this is probably the best explanation of when a person should use a slap, a patch. He explained that if a person, which most of the time happens, if you give a patch, a slap to a child, for whatever reason, it's usually to let out your emotions. You're very upset, and you're very, very upset, and you give a slap. So it's not to help the child. It's not, as the Gra says, are you doing it for the future, or are you doing it for the past? If you give a slap for the past, that means you're so upset what this child did that you come out, give him a slap. That's no good. Shlomo HaMelech, when he said, Chosen Shiftoi, Sone Benoi, the one who has mercy on the stick, hates his child, he was not speaking about such a slap. But rather, you know that the child did something that for the future, you are calm. You're not emotionally upset. But you know, whatever it was, let's say the example we said, the child ran out into the street with all oncoming traffic. Chas v'shalom, the child could have died, he could have got injured. And for that is something that he needs a slap to make him aware what he did was a terrible thing. So if you're calm and you're only doing it to teach the child in the future, for his sake, not to let out your emotion, then that's what Shlomo HaMelech was speaking about. Don't spare the rod, because if you do, you'll spoil the child. That's when it's necessary to sometimes in such circumstances to perhaps give the child the slap that he deserves. The Rabbi Dr. Twersky has a beautiful story also in connection with a beautiful example of how his father was mechanech him, which has to do with our topic here today. He says when he was a young child, 8-10 years old, he says he was a chess genius. He says, I think over the years he lost this, but at that time he was a chess genius. So one Rosh Hashanah, there was a Rav who came to his father. His father was the Hannes Stipler Rebbe in Milwaukee. His son now has taken that over. And his father had a guest, a Rav, visiting. Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon. So this Rav asked him if he wants to play him a game of chess. And the father later found out. So they played the game of chess. Afterwards, he gets a call that the father wants to see him in his study. He goes into the study, knocks on the door, his father calls him in, he goes to the study, and he's standing there, and his father is learning, 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, and he doesn't go, like today, the child would say, what do you want? You know what? No. He stood there, his father wasn't ready for him, he's learning, he stood, didn't say a word, until his father picked up his head, and he says to him, I heard that you played today a game of chess. Is that correct? He said, yes, I did. You know, he could have said, you know, the Rav was playing with me. You know, I have good company. So father looks at him, very stern. And this is after he's been there for 10 minutes waiting, you know, what his father wants from him. And his father says, you know, Rosh Hashanah is not a time for someone to play chess. It's time for davening, time to do tshuva, it's a time to learn Torah, but it's not a time to play chess. Okay? He didn't tell him to, by some of our children, they'd be out the door in the next 5 seconds. He didn't do that. He waited, and then his father went back to learn a little, and then his father picked up his head again, and he said to him, did you win? did you at least win? He said, yeah, he won. So his point was of being smoil merachek. He was pushing his child away with the left hand. He was giving him musser. He was telling him to improve, but he didn't push him away totally. He brought him close. Did you win?
to show, I'm very proud of you. You're such a good chess player, and I'm taking pleasure in your accomplishments. That was a beautiful. He didn't slap him. His son learned the lesson in a very stern way, but yet he had this balance that he kept his son with him. There's a beautiful pshat that I heard recently. Also, it was at this Torah Masar convention from Rav Usher Weiss. He's a shlita. He's a big Rosh Hashiva, excellent speaker, and he said the following idea. And as we've had the whole shiur, we've been discussing the concept zroik mora b'talmidim, to put fear into talmidim. And on the opposite side, again, we're developing the concept that it's a balance. So on the opposite side is this thought from Rav Usher Weiss. Someone, he said, once asked him, there's a contradiction. One pasuk says in Chumash, Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash, that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with milk, a land of milk and honey. And there's another pasuk, I believe it's a Mishle, it says, Dvash v'cholov tachas l'sheinecha, honey and milk under your tongue. So here it puts the milk before the honey, and here it puts the honey before the milk. So why is that? So he said on the spot, he thought of an answer. Hashem gave him in his mind an answer, which seems to be the correct answer. The answer is as follows. That the pasuk that says that the Eretz Yisrael is blessed, a land of milk and honey, that's speaking about the physical, what the physical thing of Eretz Yisrael is. So what's more important physically for a person, milk or honey? The answer is milk. Every one of us can live without the sweet honey. It only gains calories. But the milk, a child without his mother's milk, or even an animal, there's no mammal that can exist without milk. So that, for the physical sustenance of a person, that the first thing is cholov. Eretz zavas cholov udvash. But the other pasuk is speaking about Torah. And by Torah, it's just the opposite. Why? He brought a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says that what's the epitome of a person who is an omel batorah, who works diligently, he's a masmid in Torah, day and night learning. He comes to such a level where the Gemara brings a pasuk for this, where he throws up, he regurgitates his mother's milk. What do Chazal mean by that? They mean that many times you'll see even, let's say, a person who's very sick, he's like physically, he's like almost not here, and yet he listens to tapes and he wants to learn Torah. He's keeping his whole day, even though he's physically sick, but his mind he's keeping to Torah. So in other words, regurgitating his mother's milk means that he has no connection with this physical world. He's totally engrossed in ruchnius and spirituality. So the Gemara gives an example of such a person connected with milk. What's his cud? Torah.
I'm saying the milk is like keeping him going. Like,
yeah.
Is that the idea?
No, the idea is that he's the Gemara is trying to give an example that he's totally devoid of the most basic sustenance of life, which is his mother's milk. So he's regurgitating as he has. He's so, that person's epitome of a person who's full of Torah. Here's the point. How do you get a Talmud, a student, or a child to come to that level of being attached to Hashem? You can't start. That's the end goal. The beginning is when a child gets an upsharon at 3 years old. He gets his hair cut off. And I've heard a minhag, somebody told me, they say this pasuk. Dvash v'cholov tachas l'sheinecha. The child is brought in to Aleph Beis, and he licks the honey off the letters. And they say this pasuk, Dvash v'cholov tachas l'sheinecha. What does it mean? We teach a child at the beginning, Torah is sweet. Sweet as honey. This Aleph Beis is honey. To get to cholov, to get to that epitome of the, which the Gemara said, what a person who's omel batorah, who's totally dedicated to Torah. You know how you get to that level? You start off dvash v'cholav. You start off sweetness of Torah. So by the physical, it's Eretz, Zavas, Cholav, Udvash. Milk is first and then honey. Comes to the spiritual, how do you get to the epitome of Amelus Batorah? That's starting off with the sweetness. He has to appreciate how sweet Torah is. Then he can come to the level of the epitome, which is symbolized by his mother's milk. So therefore, it's Dvash V'Cholav. Tachas L'Shenecha.
What?
I think it's a Mishlei. I believe it's a Mishlei. So the...
What about the
Pasuk Chanoch
Lanar Al-Pi Darko?
Yeah.
Chanoch
Lanar
Al-Pi
Darko.
What does it mean?
Well, that means that every child learns differently, and every child, you have to give a prescription, it's called in modern language, prescription learning, and prescription teaching. You can't, what works with one child may not work with another. Right, in other words, one child you could be stricter, and it'll work. The other child be stricter, he'll rebel. You need more sweet. You have to measure. Here's sweet, here's strict. You have to see.
Even one wants more to learn Limud Eichol than Limud Eichol.
Yeah.
The Pasuk deals with that also?
That particular Pasuk? Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko. It could be. Maybe this child is not... if he's going to learn all day, he'll be a failure. If he learns and he does profession, it'll be a success. That's right. Every child is a separate, they say, every person is a separate mesechta. Like Yavin Shas, a different volume. This is one. Every child is different. I'm just going to conclude the entire shir with something I once heard from the Square Rebbe Shlita. The Square Rebbe told me that it says, we mentioned the Chazal, that Yamin Mikarev Usmol Doicha, the right hand has to bring close, the left hand has to push away. You have to have a balance. So he told me, but which one is the more important? We know the right hand is always more important than the left hand. So the main thing is Yamin Mikarev. Yes, you need the stick sometimes, and you need, we went through the Yirah, the fear, and everything. That's very good. That's on the left. But the more important, and you need that. Without that, you could be a failure also. But balance, it has to tilt towards the Yamin Makariv. The most important thing is that we're Makariv our children. And at the same time, that we have a balance of Smoil Doicha pushing away the respect. But the more important is the friendship that we develop with our children to be successful. Mircham, this is the final shir of this year before the summer break. But I hope during the summer, during the three weeks, I would like to give shir on mourning over the Churban Beis Hamikdash if Mashiach doesn't come before that time. Everybody should have a good summer.